Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're joined now by Peter Husey, president of Geostrategic Analysis, and a gentleman who keeps a pretty good eye on how we're doing in the arms race and in our ability to maintain both a deterrent factor and, if needed, an offensive capability in the most important weapon systems. And Peter, I don't know, I don't get the feeling that that has been a priority for quite a while. Most of our major systems, nuclear, submarines, even down to the ground combat systems, seem to have been a far behind some of the other priorities as far as spending. Are we doing what we need to do to keep us safe and keep the world safe?
Let me give you a metaphor. If we're in a 100-yard dash, or let's say we're in a 4-mile race, it doesn't matter. We are tying our shoes, and our adversaries are in the final turn. Russia will finish its entire modernization program in 2022. The Chinese, not sure when, because they publish even less than the Russians. The thing is, our submarines have already been delayed at least 4 years compared to where the original proposals were. We're a decade and a half behind rebuilding our Minuteman ICBMs. And since we killed the B-2 bomber in the 1990s, we are 2 decades away from building a new bomber. In fact, we won't have a new bomber until the mid-2020s. So we are currently, if the current plan is played out, we have to cross our fingers and hope that the correlation of forces, as the Russians and Chinese look at it, won't matter than the fact that we're going to be playing catch-up for a while, because our first submarine, bomber, and ICBM doesn't come into the field until the late 2020s. And when we finish the program, it'll be good. But there are a lot of termites out there, as I call them, eating away at the nuclear foundation, and they would like to see the cruise missile on the bomber go away. They would like to kill four submarines out of the 12. They would like to kill Minuteman, the new Minuteman ICBM. So there's a consensus to go forward in Congress, and there is a fairly strong, well-funded group of folks who would like to kill a lot of things.
I think part of the problem, President Obama comes from a school of thought that ending nuclear weapons globally is a possibility, and doing anything to further the, if not proliferation, even maintenance of current forces is a bad idea. So in his mind, if we're not, you know, putting them into mothballs, or better yet, completely destroying them, we're not doing our jobs, and consequently, there has been no focus. And even it sounds like, even if we continue with the current plan, that's barely going to keep us at pace with the Russians and Chinese, let alone put us in a position of dominance where they would have no idea they could try anything crazy.
Yeah, the thing is that I think, to be fair to the administration, the plan they have put forward that Congress has approved is a good one. There is a question in my mind, and then I think a lot of people's mind, is it could be faster. We could accelerate it. Remember that we take 12 to 13 to 14 years to time you do research and development until you actually procure something and put it in the field, and that's the initial capability. It's not the whole field. So we did go on what was known as a procurement holiday. In fact, I went back and read a report that Michelle Flournoy and Clark Murdoch wrote in 2002. They were both at CSIS, and they both said that we had used the nuclear forces to pay bills in the 1990s. And now we were stuck with three legs of the triad, the submarines, bombers, and ICBMs, that were old, cost a lot of money to maintain. And John Hamry, who is president of CSIS, who was very high up in the Pentagon in the 1990s, he really got religion when it came to nukes and said, we're in trouble. And he writes the introduction to this report that was, as I said, written almost 15 years ago. And it laid out the case for modernizing the nuclear deterrent, but they said, we got to get going. And as I said, you could write the same thing today. we are on the right path. The problem is, will there be pressures to divert from it?
I would hope if we were going to go on a procurement holiday, it would have been of the buying spree and get them while they're cheap variety. So we had these things in our arsenal as opposed to, you know.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But we have got, a lot of people may be interested in cost. If you take the bombers, the subs, and ICBMs, and don't take the warheads, don't take the command and control, and don't take sustainment, just the new parts, over the next 10 years, we will spend $67 billion sustaining the old stuff and $67 billion building new stuff. That's how expensive having old stuff is. It does get very costly. And because we delayed and kicked the can down the road which we did starting at the end of the Cold War, and we did it in the end of the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, the Bush 43, in 2010, Senator Kyle used the New START treaty that reduced weapons from 2,200 to 1,550. He said, wait a minute, before we reduce any further, let's agree on modernization. It was his insistence that the administration put in the budget coming in February of 2011, that the budget include a full-up modernization program that was submitted to Congress the previous December in classified form, which included 12 boats, at least 400 Minuteman, and upwards of 100 new bombers. All the bombers are going to be conventional anyway. Just some of them will be converted to a nuclear role, so you'd build the bombers anyway. But if you just add up the amount of money we're now spending per year on the platforms, the guts, it's $10 billion. Then you add in about $8 billion for the National Nuclear Security Administration, which is the warheads and the labs. You add in about $4 billion for command and control, which needs to be redone. And that's where you get the magic $24 billion a year, which we're now spending. It's going to go up to about $34. You can do the math.
I don't want to do the math.
60% increase.
That's painful. All right, now let's take. I want a
60% increase, and yet defense, the nuke part, will go up $10 billion. True, from 24 to 34, but then it peaks. It stays there for a few years, then comes down.
That one thing I've heard that worried me considerably is that President Obama might go to the UN during his lame duck time and get the Security Council to pass a nuclear test ban. Is that something that sounds to me like a horrifically bad idea? Not that we want anyone else testing, but don't we have to have at least that possibility?
I hear you. No, they did this. They went to the UN, and it was so watered down that it basically has no impact. Now, to be clear, people may claim it has because it's a resolution. But, again, it's a symbol of – we haven't tested since, I think, 91 or 2. And there are those who I admire enormously who think that by computer simulation you can figure out a number of these things. But I think Frank, your boss, Frank Gaffney, I think Frank is right that you want to preserve the opportunity to test because that demonstrates the credibility of your systems. Now, the argument is if North Korea can't test, they won't develop. Well, if you look at the real experts here, Pakistan, India, North Korea, all these countries developed nuclear weapons without testing. And then surprised us and said, here we are. Okay? They basically tested surreptitiously. They didn't test until later when India popped one off and then Pakistan said, oh, we got to. And then North Korea, of course, does it to demonstrate their coercive power with nuclear weapons. So I am not of the belief that stopping testing, which we have done unilaterally since 91, North Korea has, some people think, 100 nuclear weapons. Iran, we bribed them basically to pause, and Pakistan and India are going gangbangers. China is going gangbangers. The only limits are the United States and Russia, but Russia isn't limited in its theater missiles of nuclear weapons. And then the only countries really that have cut back are France, the United States, and Britain, and Russia actually was able to increase under the last treaty because they were in such bad shape during the 1990s and early 2000s when they were broke.
Peter Husey, president of Geostrategic Analysis, thank you for that cogent analysis of the difficulties we face in our nuclear and strategic weapons modernization. Up next, we'll be talking with Tom Trento of the United West. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.